Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman once again. This time we are live and it's not a recording, just in case you think it is. So stick around, because what we are talking about here has not been spoken about before. Thank you so much for joining this radio broadcast, and thank you so much for being a part of the Watchman Ministries. If you know somebody who does not listen to these messages and you think they would be of help to them, you could just help them and go and tell them that every Wednesday at 9 p.m. there is the Watchman, and let him watch for you and see what's been happening in the world. I spoke the last time, the only time actually this year that I've spoken live and hasn't been a recording. The reason, by the way, is for a while I was out of the country, and then for two Wednesdays I was out of the country. Then for some reason I wasn't able to make it the previous times, but now we are beginning our radio broadcasts for 2015, so dare not miss. We are going to be on live every Wednesday starting now until the end of the year. In December, like I told you last time, I took time to seek God and find out what's happening. Now, I was telling you last time about 15 things that are going to happen in 2015. And I hadn't told you about the 15, but now I know there are 15 things that I've compiled that are going to happen in 2015. Now, some of these are things that I know in by my spirit are going to happen, but they are not prophecies per se, but they are fulfillments of Bible prophecy, which are going to be seen in 2015. Things that the Lord spoke about, or that the Bible speaks about, that have to be in place before the coming of the Lord, and so many of them are falling in place. I told you here last time about Jesus saying in Luke 18:8 that nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? And that was a question, almost a bit of a question and an answer by Jesus Christ. But predicting that there would be an absence of faith in at the time that he comes. And I told you that expect there to be a rise of secularism or humanism, militant secularism across the world in the year 2015. We spoke a bit about that. I told you how humanism, the humanist associations, are forming in every country, and their work is just to fight any form of faith and fight any form of belief in God, and that is precisely what they have set out to do. And so prepare yourself for things like that. Prepare yourself for events that you know are going to happen. Now, before I said that, I didn't know what was going to happen. But then kind of what happened last week was in line with that, but I didn't think it was going to happen so fast in our country. But it did. It did actually happen in our country, because UNICEF, that's the UN, Children's Education Fund, what did they do? They went and launched what they call a Children's Education Fund or something like that to help children. And they have all sorts of noble things that they are calling it. But in reality, they have done something which I felt was shocking as far as I'm concerned. And what was it? Those guys went and chose a song by John Lennon. John Lennon was the founder of the musical group, the Beatles. So they chose a song by John Lennon. And the song is curious for something that you're going to be teaching children. Now, I'll tell you some of the things. John Lennon was the man who founded, the British guy who founded the Beatles. They were from Liverpool. And they were the first, among the first musicians that became really esoteric, or got into occultism and devil worship and things like that. That's why they were the biggest group, musical group of the time. And John Lennon was like almost a high priest for the devil. But even up to now, you know, devil worshippers and esoterists and people who are in that line of the occult, the Illuminati and all of them more or less consider him some kind of big-time prophet for their faith, for their belief system. So they actually almost, you know, refer to him, speak of him fondly, and that as you'd speak of, you know, as let's say you would speak of a great man of God that once was, and so they speak of him in such glowing terms, John Lennon, because he was one of the Beatles were one of those first groups that had all sorts of demonic symbols in their videos and things like that, things which people didn't notice at the time, but which made them so big. And John Lennon is the man who said in 1968 that he is more famous than Jesus Christ, a statement that was received fairly well in Britain, but caused an uproar in America, because they were supposed to go for a tour of America, and a magazine printed as on its front page that John Lennon had said he's more famous than Jesus Christ. Now, America, of course, in 1968 was very Christian, even as it is right now, although Obama is doing his best to turn it into some kind of homosexual promoting country. But there were riots across the nation because some of their concerts were cancelled, and what people were telling them, who do you think you are to compare yourself to Jesus Christ, and things like that. But the point is, the Beatles, John Lennon actually, after they had separated, John Lennon himself, the man who made that statement, wrote a song around about that time, about a year or so before he died, because he died in 1970, I believe. He was shot dead. He wrote a song saying, imagine that there is no heaven, imagine there is no hell, imagine a world without religion, imagine everybody living for today. I mean, imagine what peace there would be on earth with everybody living in harmony, when nobody is thinking about God. Imagine there is no God. Imagine there is no, you know, and things like that. And it was just a nice, you know, a kind of nice sing-along song and everything. But it was, in fact, some kind of prediction, or I would say some kind of prophecy, as it were. Because all those guys get all their lyrics from the devil, straight on from the devil. Straight on from the devil. Now, of course, it seems... no innocent, he's just imagining. No, it isn't actually innocent, because John Lennon also said, I know Christianity is going to die away. I don't have to argue with anybody about that. I know it's going to die. Eventually, there will be no Christianity. Well, Christianity hasn't died, and I would say John Lennon must be about 50 or so years in hell. That's quite a long time to be there, and he still has a long, long time to be there. But the point is, 1930, that would be 45 years. Well, what? No difference when you're going to be there for eternity. 45. But the point is, now that song written by him, by that satanist, is the song which was chosen by UNICEF as a song to promote children's what, and they got all these Ugandan celebrities, fools, all of them, Navio and what, all of them stupid fools. To promote, you know, the whole thing, teaching children to sing, imagine there is no heaven and there is no hell. Now, they want to teach that to your children, so that your children also start singing, imagine there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no God, everybody lives for today. Now, let me tell you something. That's foolish, okay? It's like telling a university student, imagine there are no exams, everybody comes to campus to have fun. The truth is, there are exams. And you're going to have to sit exams. And you went there to sit exams. Now, the point is, humanism. Now, they are attacking our children. Now, that's precisely what they did in Europe. Around the 1970s, they decided that the old people had too much faith in God for it to be erased. Now, since they seem to be spoilt already, in the words of those people, since they seem to be spoilt in their Christian beliefs, in their Judeo-Christianity, let's attack the children. So in the 1970s, they attacked the children, started telling them all that, and the song released in 1968 by John Lennon was part of my move towards that. I told you about the Humanist Association, which was first launched in 1933, which told people that, you know, we can create a world without God. And they say that the parents, the churches only have children on Sunday, for 2 hours on Sunday, that is in Sunday school. But for us, we are going to have them from Monday to Friday. So that was the time they decided to introduce secular education in schools. And they tried to ban everything to do with God from the schools across Europe. Now, very soon, you are going to see things like that coming here. Already, UNICEF started with musicians, promoting their Imagine And so many innocent people who don't know what it is all about and who think that UN, just because something comes from UN, it has good intentions and things like that, are going to fall for it. I didn't know this was going to happen so soon. It has happened. It was launched. I was watching it on NTV News. And kids singing "Imagine There Is No God" and what. Now, just tell your kid there is God. If he starts imagining there is none, he's going to end up in hell like John Lennon. But just know that you have to teach, you have to take a decision. If you're a Christian and you're listening to this, you have to take a decision to tell your children about God every day, because they are going to come up against all sorts of things when they go to school, and you can't stop them from going to school. But what you can do, because a child always listens to the parent more than they listen to anybody else, what you can do is tell them at home there is God, and you know that you're a Christian. This is what Christians do. Read to them Bible stories, introduce them to those things, because we are also introduced to those things. And even if when we got into our teenage, we became a bit rebellious and did things which all other teenagers, which so many teenagers do, eventually, because the seed had been planted in us, we eventually came back to Christ. Now do the same. Plant those seeds in your children and make sure that the first seed they get is not the seed which is going to be promoted by UNICEF and the Ugandan celebrities, Navio and all those musicians, who of course will just do anything as long as it has money. UNICEF has money. They are United Nations. So they can get anything they want using money. You will get musicians, give them a good sum of money, and they start promoting whatever they want them to promote. So I told you that was going to happen, an increase in militant secularism. But we have to go into other things now. What is also going to now go into another level, which actually started a way back, is questioning the authority of the Bible. So when these things happen, by the way, don't get fooled, because there are people now who have specialized in doing Bible history, and they know so much. I was reading, somebody sent me an article that was in Newsweek, in which somebody questioned the entirety of the New Testament, questioning this, questioning that. And so many people who don't know the Bible can fall for those lies, because he claims, and they put their claims on very flimsy things, but which are supposed to grip people who already don't want to believe the truth. That's why God says that I will send them a strong delusion, that they will believe a lie. Because somebody was telling me that the epistle of Peter wasn't written by Peter, it's a forgery. I told him, how do you know that? On what do you base that conclusion? He says, on the mastery of Greek. Peter was an illiterate, he couldn't write such good Greek. I looked at him and said, so now you've dismissed the whole of it just because somebody wrote better Greek than you think he should have written. Then I even showed him that actually Peter wrote it with somebody who was a Greek scholar, and Peter was telling him what to write, and the person was writing, and it was Peter's words really, but because of course Paul was very educated, but Peter was a fisherman, remember that. So, and it's written there in the Bible, it's there in the Bible, but you see somebody jumps and they start coming to conclusions, and well, then they have these theologians who are unbelievers, okay, claim to be theologians, but they really don't believe anything. Then they try to take the supernatural out of the Bible. Somebody was saying, how can you believe that Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy when it actually writes about his death and his burial? How could he have written it when it actually details his death and his burial? And now if you find somebody who doesn't know how the Bible works, then he's going to confuse their faith. Because if you're using your mind, then how can somebody write a book when the book actually talks about how he was buried? Then I told him, it was got into some kind of, you know, sometimes I try to help people if they are not into argument mode. I told him, why do you want to take the supernatural out of the Bible? How could Daniel write about, read through the Bible? Daniel writes about Alexander the Great and what, who came, and in totally accurate terms, how when his empire, when he died, his empire was split between four of his generals, and what he wrote about it so accurately, 200 years before it came to pass. So if somebody can write something 200 years before it came to pass, what makes you think that Moses cannot write about his death and his burial even if he's the one writing about it, because of course God has showed him how it's going to happen. And people write things. I mean, how can we be reading things about John, about a beast, about the formation of the European Union and the Fourth Roman Empire and all those things which were written at least 2000 years ago, but we are seeing now? And yet, so how could John have known it? I mean, the point is, if John can know what was going to happen 2000 years later, surely he should have known how he was going to die and be buried, if he had wanted to know and write about it, or if God had wanted him to know. But you know that Paul says, I'm about to be, you know, even Paul and Peter both predict their death and say, I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering. That's Paul. And what's awaiting me is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. But not just me, but all those who have, what? Who have awaited his coming. The thing is, there is nothing too big in all of that. But you see, if it's presented in a secular way, how can Moses have written the book of Deuteronomy when it actually writes about how he died and how he was buried? But I'll tell you, even secular musicians who are getting their stuff from the devil I told you the other day here how musicians have written in lyrics accurately predicting how they were going to die and how they were going to be buried, from Tupac to so many others. There was a group in Brazil which predicted so accurately how there was going to be a fire and how the drumist was going to die and things like that. And it happened 1 year later. How do they know that? They get those things from the spiritual realm. And things happen in the spiritual realm before they happen in the natural realm. And so if it can happen from people who are getting stuff from the devil, I mean, if God knows the end from the beginning. But anyhow, the point is, the authority of the Bible is going to be questioned. Don't let your faith waver. Never ever let your faith in the word of God waver, because it is going to come under incredible attack. So I told you also this year you're going to see what I call the great divide, which the Bible predicts about in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. Many shall be purified, many shall be made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now this is the period in which we are talking about, because when I tell you about a campaign launched by UNICEF, you know, and by the way, the person who sent it to me is a dear brother and one of our partners, a gentleman called Eden, and he got born again 2 years ago and started listening to the Watchman when he started. But now he is one of the wise who understands. He sees everything that is happening and he knows. And he sends me so many of these things, some of which have escaped my attention. And he has seen them and he sends them to me and says, have you seen this? And because now he has joined the wise who understand. But there are fools who will not understand, and the wicked whom the devil has corrupted their minds. So when these things are, and unfortunately they are going to be the majority. Now when these things happen, and for you you're looking and saying, now this is predicted by the Bible, this means that this is about to happen, and what? And when you're looking at all these things, and you know that we read these things from the Bible, and we know they are going to happen, and they happen, because the Bible gets its authority from what it has already predicted and happened. There are so many prophecies that nobody could have predicted, that the Bible clearly, specifically predicted, that have already happened. So it has the authority to tell us what is going to happen in future, because everything else that it says was going to happen has happened. But you see now here it says that what does it say? Many shall be purified, many shall be made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Actually it means shall do increasingly wickedly. They shall get more and more wicked, even as the righteous are getting more and more righteous. So there will be a clear division between those who are wicked and those who are righteous. There's not going to be any form of confusion whatsoever, where you're saying somebody, you know, is good, he's what. Those who are not for God will be absolutely wicked, and their thinking, their mindset, everything is going to be completely wicked. But the Bible says, and they will not, and the wicked shall not understand what's happening, shall not understand the meaning of all this, but the wise, those who are wise will understand. So that's precisely what the Bible says. So we are going to see a bit of that this year, and that division, and increasingly people who have been listening to the Watchman, and who have been, basically the Bible says, watch and pray. Those who have been watching and praying, not just praying and not just watching, do watch and pray. Because if you watch only, you not have the wisdom to comprehend to decode what is happening. However, if you watch and pray, then every time you pray, God gives you wisdom to see what is actually happening and how you are going to respond to it. Talking about which, when UNICEF launched that campaign of Imagine, I was so angry that those people have the guts to come to a country like Uganda, which is largely religious. I mean, of course, very Christian, but also even those who are not Christians are Muslims and therefore are believers. But the point is, are believers in a God. What right do they have to come here and start telling us to imagine that there is no heaven and no hell and what? So I almost actually thought about coming up with something to counter it in the media and things like that. But you know, I don't do anything unless I'm sure it is the will of God, at least not in the area of ministry. So I thought about it. I was livid. I could hardly sleep that night when I saw that thing. It really turned me upside down. So I prayed about it. I said, Lord, how do I respond to this? Do I just continue? Do I just tell those people who will listen and leave the rest to themselves? How do I handle this? Or do I really go full blast and go out and try to counter this and that? So that night, I went to sleep late, very late in the night, when it was actually coming to morning. Now I kept on thinking about what I should do and telling people how that really, you know, left me livid, almost scathing. And well, at that night I had a dream, an interesting dream. The night after, I had an interesting dream in which I was sailing. I was not sailing, actually I was kusubulai, as in I'd bought passion fruits and I was supposed to sell them to people who would eventually sell them on retail. And so I went to people, to those retailers, and I was selling to them passion fruits. And they hurried me up and they eventually cheated me. So they cheated me and I told them, okay, give me back my money. Give me back my passion fruits and I give you back your money. But they didn't want to, so eventually I kept on giving them money and I was losing it. So I went and complained to somebody who initially had appeared to be on my side. I complained to him and said, these people have refused to give me my money. And he just looked at me and said nothing and did nothing. So eventually in the dream, I ended up losing out big time on selling passion fruits. So I tried to get the meaning of the dream. The reason I'm telling you this is because sometimes dreams can be dramatized in ways that I find amazing. So I thought, does this mean that there's going to be some loss in my life that I'm supposed to pray against? Because clearly I was losing something in the dream. And so I started praying alone, because I don't believe I can lose anything. I suffer no loss. I suffer no loss in Jesus' name. I know as a tither and as a faithful tither, I don't lose anything. I cannot lose any money. I cannot lose anything. I can't lose anything that belongs to me. Once it is in my possession, I only can get rid of it willingly. I don't lose anything. That is my faith. And that has been my experience for quite a while. So when I heard that, I said, why am I losing this? So I prayed about it. And it's only actually on Monday night. Now that dream was last week. It's only actually Monday night, late in the night when I was praying, that I got the interpretation for the dream. And actually, the passion fruits. Now this is amazing, because the Lord was telling me that I was reacting with passion, passionately. I was reacting with passion, but it wasn't of Him. So those were what I was planning to do in response to the UNICEF campaign of Imagine, was actually fruits of my passion, but not of the Holy Spirit, you understand? So I basically gave up. That's why I was selling passion fruits. Now the whole interpretation of the dream was in the fact that it was fruits of passion fruits, you understand? So I got the interpretation, and so I decided I'm going to handle it in a totally different way, as the Lord leads. Now my point is, the purpose of that story is to show you how sometimes dreams have, almost so many times dreams have very big meanings, and you might not get the meaning immediately, but continue churning it in your mind as you pray, especially if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. As you pray in tongues, continue to think about what you dreamt, and eventually it will almost be decoded in your mind. It's almost like God downloads the meaning, and then it becomes very clear after that. So I understood that what I was planning to do was not of God. But like I told you, the wise will understand, the fools will not understand. Then the Bible says, the Bible talks about a delusion that I've told you about this before, that the coming of the glorious one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Remember, he has his crowd, so don't expect everybody to join you. There will be those who have chosen to join the crowd of the devil. And he says, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Believe the lie, not a lie. They should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Remember, one of the main reasons people don't believe when you tell them some of these things is because they still want to live a way of unrighteousness. They still want to choose the way of the world. So they pretend not to believe, but deep down they know that what you're saying is true. Now, when they continue like that and they continually choose to live the way of unrighteousness, the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion, that they eventually will believe the lie, and that is the lie of the devil. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9-12. Now, the other thing I told you, that Russia and China this year are going to come to become major forces in world politics, even as America is going to go down and down and down. Actually, America is not any part, it does not have a part in end time prophecy. Of course, if you listen to television end time preachers, because they're Americans, they try to think America has to be there. But the truth is, and of course they try to force it there, but the reality is that America does not feature anywhere in end time events. So at some stage of all of this, America has to go down and cease to be the force that it once was. Now, this year that is going to start, and it's going to start with the economy, and a lot is going to be done, because towards the end, Russia and China, which I mentioned as in the Gog and Magog wars, are going to be a major front in world politics. The fourth thing is Europe, especially Germany and France, will grow in significance in world politics as well, and they will be deeply involved in the Middle East peace process. Now, that is already what is happening as we speak. Europe is beginning to have a say. Initially, it was purely America. I mean, American secretaries of state, and we're trying to hammer out a peace deal. But because we know the person who eventually hammers out that peace deal between Israel and the Arabs around them, the Palestinians especially, is going to be the Antichrist now. And we know the Antichrist is going to come from Europe. Now, this year you're going to see Europe, especially Germany and France, working together so much towards creating a peace deal in the Middle East. And that is going to be the background or the force that eventually pushes the Antichrist into power and into signing that peace deal. So that is what is going to happen. Europe, especially Germany and France, will grow in significance in world politics. The alliance between those nations is also prophesied, by the way, clearly in the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. And the leopard is, it is said in Daniel chapter 7 verse 6, that the leopard had wings of a bird. Now, we know that the leopard is Germany, and that is actually the symbol, the national symbol for Germany, the leopard. But we know that there is one big European country whose national symbol is a bird or is a cockerel, and that country is France. So in Daniel chapter 7 verse 6, Daniel actually saw a leopard with the wings of a bird, talking about that alliance between Germany and France. So isn't that interesting? The national symbol for France, by the way, is the rooster or the cockerel. So that's interesting. Now, one thing else that we are going to see this year, and it's going to be extremely strong, is microchips, new wearable technology, which is going to spread across the developed world. It is going to be very powerful, and it's going to be some kind of preamble for the mark of the beast, the 666. Because remember, it has to be put in the right hand or in the forehead, and it has to be put in the body. But you have to understand that all of these things have already started happening across the world. So would you like to have an RFID microchip implanted under your skin? Well, if you're anything like me, I'm sure you wouldn't. You'd never allow such a thing to be done. Well, but apparently many other people, especially young people of this generation, tend to see things differently, because RFID microchips, implants, and other forms of so-called wearable technology are increasingly being viewed now as cool, as trendy, and as cutting edge by young people who wish to enhance themselves. And of course, the mainstream media is all in favor of these technological advancements, you know, technology as what, you know, we live in the era of technology. And that's the wording which is going to lead people to hell ultimately. And people catch on to it so fast, and you know, technological advancements. For example, the BBC published an article last year which was entitled, "Why I Want a Microchip Implant." Would you want that? No, I wouldn't. I'm sure I wouldn't. But then BBC is saying, this was the title of the thing, "Why I Want a Microchip Implant." So, of course, such implants could solve a whole host of society problems. Identity theft, credit card fraud would almost entirely be eliminated. Many other forms of crime would also be significantly reduced. Children would never go missing, and we wouldn't have to remember the host of passwords and PIN numbers of our ATMs and all our what, you know, what's your account number and all that crap. You wouldn't have to remember it any longer because it's all in your body. So we are told that if we just adopted such technology, our lives would be so much better. But of course, that's where you have to know what is in the Bible to avoid being deceived. So as society becomes digitally integrated, those are the words they're using. Technologists tell us that it is inevitable that wearable technology will become as common as smartphones are today. Ultimately, implanted microchips offer a way to make our physical body machine readable, so that when you enter into a bank, you don't have to pull out any card or anything. All your information, all your bank details and what, are in your right hand or in your forehead, and the machines there can read them. Already it's gone quite a distance, by the way. It's gone quite a distance because all these readable things, now they are, you can walk into some supermarket, so many actually, walk into a supermarket and basically just walk out as long as you have your credit card on you, because the machine will read your credit card and it will read the barcode on all of the items that you've selected. So you don't have to go through the till where they pick out item by item, as it is right now, especially in Uganda, and then they value it. Then you either use your bank card or pay with cash. No such thing. People have no time to waste. Just go, pick up your cereal, pick up everything you need, put it inside the trolley, ride the trolley out. As you ride the trolley out, you go through an area where all the things which are there are costed automatically through the barcodes, because that thing can read all those all the barcodes when you're in the trolley, while the items are in the trolley, and then it will subtract that amount from your credit card, which is in your pocket automatically. So you just go into the supermarket and go out, and you don't have to pass anywhere. You just ride all the way out. What does that mean? No theft. You can't steal nothing, because it's going to it basically, if you look at it from the surface, it actually solves a lot of problem. It's all in an attempt, we are told, to bridge the gap between your digital and your physical identity. If you forgot or lost any of your IDs, numbers and all that, well, as it is right now, or your PIN code and what, you are suddenly cut off from your bank account and from so many other things, especially in worlds where they use them, from your gym, from your ride home, from your proof of identity, and so many other things. So the technology to do these things was actually developed early, almost more than 10 years ago, in the early 2000s, and was tested on animals and found to be very effective. So for 2 years, in 2003 and 2004, 2013 and 2014 especially, people have been volunteering to get these implants. Well, it's all been going well. At some technology conferences, people actually line up to get chipped. In February 2014, at the Transhuman Visions Conference in San Francisco, Gratz Fra set up an implantation station where people went and they were offering attendees the chance to get chipped for $50 a time. Using a large needle designed for microchipping pets, Gratz Fra injected a glass-coated RFID tag the size of a rice grain into all volunteers who went and paid $50 each. Now, it's so easy, it's painless. It's almost like, staple. You just go and they put it right into your hand, and So by the end of it, those guys had created 15 new cyborgs. So how creepy is that? Well, I guess it is kind of creepy. But there was one small problem. Initially, there was a problem of batteries dying. So the microchip in your body stays there, but the batteries die. So you can't, it can't operate because the batteries have to, so you have to pull it out, recharge it, then put it back in. And that is kind of tedious, and nobody wants to get into that. It actually sounds more tedious than just carrying your bank card and credit card and all that. But not any longer. Scientists, about 2 years ago, developed batteries that can be powered by the human body and that can be used to provide a permanent power source for any implantable technology. That means the battery, I mean the microchip, the size of a grain of rice, can go into a person and stay in there without a problem, and will always be charged as long as that person is alive. If he's dead, then he doesn't need it anyway, because it uses the same energy that runs your body, I mean your heart and everything. So there we are, finally we are ready for the mark of the beast. Finally, now imagine how stupid all these things could have seemed when John wrote them 2,000 years ago, that nobody would be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast or the mark of his name. I mean, people are saying, nobody, the whole world, is that possible? How is that possible? And right now, it is very, very possible. And I mean, imagine that prophecy of the two witnesses. The Bible says who will be killed in the city of Jerusalem, and their bodies will be there for 3 years, or for 3 days. And the whole world will look upon them and celebrate, and what? And at the time they are writing this, how can the whole world look on the bodies of people who are in Jerusalem? How about me who is in Kampala? How am I going to look at it? But now, of course, we know that with television, all that is possible. But I want you to understand that when you look at, when somebody comes and starts telling you all the crap about who wrote the Bible and all that, how could any human being have foreseen all these things 2,000 years ago? Because it was crazy. I mean, John writes that an army of 200 million people was going to attack Israel. The number of them, I saw them, 200,000. It's there in the book of Revelation. Now, the population of the world at the time he wrote that was not even 200 million, the entire world. So now it must, those are things you have to write when you know God has shown you something. Because when you write an army of 200 million people, but right now, the Islamic world can produce an army of 200 million people because they are 1.6 billion people. China can produce, actually Mao Zedong once bragged that he can produce an army of 200 million people. And he's not even reading the Bible. He's a secularist. He does not believe in the Bible. Bibles were even banned in China under his time. But he's saying he can produce an army of 200 million people. Now, John saw that 2,000 years ago. Clear. I mean, the authority of the Bible lies in the things that it says, and that they don't change. They've been there all these years. I mean, nobody goes and edits and says, now let's remove this. No. These things have been there 2,000 years, and we are seeing them come to pass right now. Now we are ready in every form for the mark of the beast. The technology is there. The mindset of so many people to take it is there. People are looking for convenience. Imagine a scenario where, and it's not going to end there, so many other things are going to be added to it. Not just that, they are going to add on the fact that they can put in ways to kill, to make people not have sicknesses, and you don't have to suffer from stuff like, I mean, cancer and things like that, and so on and so forth. And all these things you are going to see come to pass. Now, let's move on. So wearable technology, prepare for that. It's going to be part of the news very soon. When I was telling you about secularism, I didn't know it was going to be part of the news in Uganda in just a few days, and almost a week after I said it, there it was. Now, calamities. In 2014, there have been so many such natural calamities, I mean, in virtually every area. Air transport, which is still actually the safest means of transport, but was once famed for being very safe, well, has seen so many snags, so to speak. Planes are falling out of the sky, which was almost unheard of, almost entirely unheard of. Almost 99% of, or even more than that, of plane accidents after the 1970, when flight technology improved, were either takeoff or landing. It was almost hardly ever heard of that if a plane fell out of the sky. Once a plane hit cruise height, where they, you know, take off your seatbelt and all. No matter how long it was traveling, you were safe. Unless, of course, there were some negligence things like not enough fuel and things like that, or a hijack. But otherwise, it was safe. But now, in 2014, we're actually seeing planes falling out of the sky, which is extraordinary. Because nobody expects that to happen, because all the flight accidents were actually takeoff and landing. Actually, 80% of them were takeoff, and the other 20 were landing. And almost very few. Actually, remember only one flight in almost 30 years that fell out of the sky. And it was because there was something wrong with the speedometer. And the pilot thought he was moving at a certain distance, yet actually he was moving at a too slow to stay in the air. He was crawling, and so eventually the plane couldn't sustain itself in the air because he was moving too slowly, because there was a fault in the world. But otherwise, but now this year we are seeing planes, even water transport, has suffered an unusual year of catastrophe. As you remember, the Korean ship which sank last year, I'm talking about last year, inexplicably, and killed in excess of 300 mostly school children. Then as the year was ending, an Italian cruise liner with holidaymakers caught fire on sea. I'm sure you are seeing that on whatever. So it's all these calamities are going to increase, and so it's going to be a worse year for such kind of things in 2015. Expect that. Expect to see all that as part of the news, and just know that it's going to happen. And because people's trust in worldly systems is going to be shaken, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Now, I told you hunger is going to increase and the price of food is going to go up. This is where people have got to heed the call of God to go and get, especially in Uganda, because we are called to be an agricultural nation, where they have to heed the call of God and go and get themselves involved in agriculture, because there's going to be a huge issue with food production, and the prices of food are going to go up. Now, incredibly, when I was actually compiling this list and I was thinking about this, I had an interesting dream in which I actually bought one chapati for 20,000 Uganda shillings. So I went to buy two chapatis, and they told me they were 40,000 shillings. So in my dream, so I actually forked out 40k to buy two chapatis. Right now, there is nowhere where anybody is going to sell you a chapati at 20,000. But I actually had this in a dream, and it was interesting. And the book of Revelation predicts a time when food will be so scarce that a day's wages will be only enough to buy a ration of flour and oil, figuratively speaking. It's right there in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. So it might not peak this year, but it will start this year. This is what I'm talking about. Something else, Middle East continues to be a melting point of all sorts of things. The River Euphrates War that the Bible says will kill a third of mankind might not happen this year, but the build up to it is definitely going to happen this year. Remember, the Bible talks about a war that will start over the River Euphrates and will kill one third of mankind. That is a 2.2 billion people, and it has to involve if you look at the description in the Bible, it has to involve nuclear, because the whole idea of people's flesh falling off their bones while they are standing is nuclear. Now imagine John writing about that 2000 years ago. I mean, he had no idea what he could have been talking about, but now we know that actually if there's a nuclear explosion, the people around, their flesh can just melt off their bones and basically just melt without anything. But the Bible describes that, by the way. I mean, isn't that interesting? Now, Revelation chapter 9, verse 14 to 19 says, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen, who was 200 million, or in other translation it says 200,000 of thousands, but it's 200 million as I told you, and had the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Now, a third of mankind was killed by this. Interestingly, I saw somebody again, the same gentleman, pointed out to me the cover of the Economist magazine for predicting what is going to happen in 2015. And just the cover shows you so many things. And what are some of the things which are there? An atomic bomb. There is a picture on the cover, the first issue of the Economist magazine for 2015. There's a picture of an atomic bomb, and we know that there's going to be a war that will rise out of the River Euphrates. We know that for sure, it's in the Bible. And the River Euphrates starts from Turkey, goes through Iran, Syria, and Iraq, actually, Syria, and also comes just close to Iran. So all the four countries that through which the River Euphrates runs, that's if you include the one where it just comes to the border, really, all of them are Islamic countries. So we know that there's going to be a war there that will start out of the Islamic world that is going to kill a third of humankind. And it has to involve Israel. It has to involve, now there's all this talk about Netanyahu wanting Iran to do with their nuclear what, and how Obama is not interested in confronting Iran on that, and how Netanyahu is making big noise about it and things like that. And there was a suspicion by me not too long ago that Israel were going to attack Iran and bomb them and try to destroy that nuclear arsenal that they are building. But somehow it hasn't happened, and maybe now I'm beginning to think it might just not happen until the River Euphrates war, when possibly the Iranians use that atomic bomb, either Iran or Israel or whoever, but somebody is going to use an atomic weapon. And and interestingly, even the Economist seems to think so. And why is it important what the Economist thinks? Because it is owned by a British banking family called the Rothschilds. I don't know. I know the spelling. Somehow the pronunciation escapes me. But these are top Bilderberg. I told you about the Bilderberg group, the people, the group of 300 who control everything that happens in the world. So now if they are writing and predicting that there's going to be an atomic bomb now in 2015, and it's on the cover of their magazine, then you gotta be taking them seriously. You have to be taking them seriously. Anyhow, for me, I tell you what the Bible says. Israel is going to continue to be isolated, completely isolated. I told you that Europe currently is now exactly where Germany was in 1939. Jews are slowly being isolated. Anti-Semitism comes naturally. Even that time it came naturally. People found that they hated Jews, and they didn't even understand why they did it. But you see, it's demonic. That's what happened in the days of Esther, when Haman rose up against the Jews. It was so easy for, because the devil pulls these undercurrents, and he wanted to destroy Jews at that time. And all the Jews who existed were all under the kingdom, that kingdom of that man Akstathes, however you pronounce that. So if Haman's plot had gone through, the Jewish race was going to be wiped out completely. But of course we know they are not going to, although the devil is going to try to. He tried the same under Hitler. Now Europe is in that same position, where you see that even Hamas, which is a clearly terrorist organization, was recently, a European court removed Hamas as among the list of terrorist organizations. I mean, Hamas in their own charter say their desire is to kill all Jews who exist, not just Jews who exist in Palestine, but and in the land which they think is there. So it's not a battle for land, it's a battle to kill Jews. They say they want to kill Jews all over the world. So and yet somehow the European court removes them from the list of terrorists. I mean, how is that possible? But you see now, there's an undercurrent, especially in Europe, because Europe has to prepare for the coming of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist has to come through Europe. So there is a huge move against God, against everything that is of God, and a huge move against the Jewish people and what, and it's all in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. And the Bible says that and Jerusalem is going to be one of the biggest bone of contentions this year. It is prophesied rather in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 2, where the Bible says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all surrounding nations," all surrounding peoples actually, "when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut to pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it." And that's what's going to happen. All nations of the earth will eventually be gathered to take over Jerusalem. Why? Because it's God's city. So many times in the Bible, God has declared Jerusalem as the city of God. And those people are going to do everything in their power to try and take it over, if only they can stop some of the things that have to happen in Jerusalem, if they can stop Bible prophecy. So the gospel is going to be preached on new areas. Now there's also going to be a huge thing about genders. You're going to see a huge merging of genders. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. Now you're going to see, now there's going to be a lot of all this gender confusion, which started of course with homosexuality and all that, it causes confusion in gender, where you have men who think they are women and women who think they are men, and women who, even if they think they are women, want to behave like men because they have been told that's a success and that's emancipation, and so on and so forth. Then you have men who are depending on women for financial sustenance because they have lost the ability to actually be proper men the way it is supposed to be. And now it's going to come reach a melting point where there are all going to be all these sex change operations. Now they have started all across the world. Somebody said to me something in which he was showing me all this. Now a powerful person who is, you know, all celebrities are going to start changing their sexes. So don't be surprised if George Clooney tomorrow becomes a woman and things like that. And they want to popularize it to confuse genders. Now that's part of the devil's plan. And it's all part of confusing everything that God made in the order that God made it. And he's going to go through people who, unfortunately, so many people in Africa take seriously. Because they are richer, they are more organized and what. But the truth is, I wish you would know how much better we are at things that really matter. Okay? Then you would know that you are not going. So the gender confusion is going to happen so strong this year. You're going to see a rise in deception, and much of it is going to come from people whom you initially thought belong to the church. We'll talk about this a bit later. And I told you last time that there's going to be a move by shepherds. Shepherds who are not seeking after God. The Bible says, Jeremiah 10:21, "For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper, and their flocks will be scattered." Now, in the Bible, it is predicted clear that God will remove his sheep from shepherds who are not taking good control of them. That is pastors. So if you're a pastor and you have a flock, if you want God to increase you, you have to start seeking God and giving them the proper diet of the word of God. Otherwise, if it talks about here, I spoke about this the other time, the first meeting of the year, when it says that, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." That's Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 1 to 6. "Prophesy and say to them, that says the Lord God of the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." Now that is true of so many so-called men of God who are busy feeding themselves at the expense of the flock. Now what God is going to do is going to get the flock away from them and take them to shepherds who have been prepared for such a moment as this. So don't be surprised if some of the churches that you knew as big suddenly become diminishing this year if the shepherds are not doing the job that God has called them to do. And finally, the 15th thing is population control, methods of population control, including disease, sickness, and what, are going to increase. So now, that's a glimpse of what you should expect in the year 2015. It doesn't sound so uplifting, but of course, the gospel is also going to be preached across the world, and there are going to be so many good things. There's going to be, when the sheep find their shepherds, and they are put under the proper shepherds, the Bible clearly says, then the wealth transfer happens instantly, and it is going to be so powerful that there will be a shake-up of the worldly system. But when there is a shake-up, the wealth will be transferred to the children of God. Now that is what is going to happen. Now now that you know that, prepare yourself, position yourself for what God has in store for you. And God has great things in store for you. Don't think that this is doom and gloom. You know, I was listening to somebody I was listening to these end time preachers on TV talking about the coming of the Lord and, you know, Bible prophecy and what. And this lady asks, but where is the good news in all of this? And I'm saying, shut up. I mean, we are telling you Jesus is coming and you're saying, where is the good news? I mean, why are people so attached to this world that they think that when somebody tells them Jesus is about to come, that is bad news? I mean, if you are engaged to somebody, if you're engaged to a man, if you're a lady and you're engaged to a man, and they told you that your man is coming to set up a powerful wedding and is going to wed you, and you say that you're scared, then it means your heart is no longer with that man. Your heart has been drawn away by another man. In this case, that man is the world. So the good news is that Jesus is coming soon. The good news is that we are living in the last days. That is good news enough. I mean, I wish he would come tomorrow. Quite frankly, if he could come tomorrow, I wish he would. Because the Bible says the Spirit and the bride, who is us, say, come. I wouldn't mind one bit if Jesus came tomorrow. Because I don't know about you, but eventually when he does come, you'll be tired of this world if you're a real Christian. If the world doesn't suck you in, you'll be tired of it. The Bible says Lot was vexed by the unrighteous behavior that was around him. His soul was continually vexed by it, that to a point where you just want to leave and go. You're tired of all this. And then at that time when you're so tired of it, the world has become so wicked. You've been seeing in the news, and it has made big news, a young girl who is going to marry her father. And it's big news all over. Now you're going to see so many of those things which you thought are unthinkable and are taboo are going to become mainstream and what. And then the same people who have been promoting homosexuality even here in Uganda will start promoting them. It's her right. She has a right to marry whoever she wants. They are both adults and crap like that. You're going to see people marrying their sisters, and it's going to happen. I mean, you're going to see zoophilia or bestiality. And in Germany now there are brothels where people go and sleep with animals, and the government is trying to stop them, but people are saying it's their right. I mean, they have a right to do what they want. It's a complete, as the other man says, a complete social cataclysm. They turn all social roles upside down so that the world becomes extremely wicked. People are sleeping with their sisters, parents are sleeping with their daughters, and this is the world that is being created right now. So before you stand up and say, you know, it's modern to over what, you know, homophobia, what, we are living in a modern world, what, archaic laws, just know where all this started and just know where it is ending. I told you before, you're going to see the bestiality. Now it is all over the place. It is in the news. Germans, saying that they have a right to go to zoophilia clinics, which are kind of brothels where they keep animals, goats, what, where men go. I mean, and the devil just wants to humiliate the human race because he knows that hurts God. It hurts God to see people he created in his image, you know, being brought to that. But you see, because God gave you free choice, you can do it if you want. But I mean, it hurts him. It hurts his heart. And because the devil can't touch God, he's going to touch the people who are precious to God, and that is human beings, and turn them into some kind of beasts. And that gives him joy. That's as much joy as he's going to get, because eventually he's going to end up in eternity in hell. Anyhow, I've got to end this right now, but just so you know, we are still planning the Watchman Conference. We haven't set a date, but I kindly ask you to make a contribution towards this. Send an email if you really want to contribute towards the Watchman Conference, because it's quite an amount of money and I need your support. I need you to sow in. I don't need your support. I need you to sow into this, because I don't want you as a donor. I want you as a sower. So I need you to sow into this project. Send me an email if you want to do that. I'll tell you how to sow it. If you're a partner, please be consistent, because God is doing wonderful things, and I know that. And if you, we are planning something, I'm trying to move away from, people have been telling me, irregular on Facebook and what. I'm trying to move away from Facebook and create a website, which is already being built. My website builder tells me it will be ready within the next 2 weeks. So we shall have a website where I will not only be putting all these messages, so you can pick them without having to, you know, all these email, and they can be picked across the world, but also where I will be putting podcasts on, that is a brief teachings on so many different subjects which are not end time, but which some of you are not getting in your churches because your pastors are not teaching that. For instance, I realized when I taught how to be led by the Holy Spirit and all those things, people were touched by them, but that's not end time. That is, but I just felt led to teach that now you'll be able to get there and not only get the radio message about end time, but also get podcasts from me about so many different subjects in Christianity that are going to bless you. Now we are working, and of course I'll be writing a weekly newsletter and what things that have not been consistent doing on Facebook. So we are building that. So if you're a partner, if you want to become a partner, send me an email on UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. Ugandan Watchman, Ugandan with an N at the end, then Watchman, one word. Ugandan Watchman, all one word @gmail.com. Send me an email and tell me you want to contribute either towards the Watchman Conference, which is coming up shortly, I'll tell you the dates, or towards anything that is happening in the ministry, and we'll be glad to receive your seed, and we believe God is going to work wonderful things in your life. So in the meantime, that will be it for today. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.